Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Oh yes, indeed. Sanele, good afternoon to you. Hi, good afternoon, Sanele. Ooh, looks like we've lost Sanele there. Sanele?
Thank you so much, my elder.
Yes.
I think the one and the first important thing, yep. Yeah, I can hear you loud and clearly.
Okay, I can hear you.
And it seems as if there's a delay. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. I do notice that there is a delay,
okay.
But we can hear you.
It seems as if there's a bit of a delay, though.
All right, let's do this. I think I'm going to try you in another line and see how it will.
Okay.
It will.
All right. I think one of the first important.
All right. Yeah, I think let's do that. Let me try you on another line.
Okay. We are waiting for you, my Jesus. We are waiting for you,
our rock of ages.
We are waiting for you,
our master.
We are waiting for you,
our refuge.
We are waiting for you.
We need you,
Lord. I think this one is better, Sanele.
Yeah, I can hear you loud and clearly.
Okay, I can hear you loud and clear. Yeah, so yeah, please continue.
Yes, so I think, apologies for that, man. I'm not sure what's happening. So I think the first important thing we must appreciate about the Holy Spirit is what we also learn when we start the book of Genesis. I think for me, it's important for us to understand from the beginning.
Okay, all right.
Where before there's even creation of anything, the Bible tells us in the book of Genesis chapter 1 that the Holy Spirit was already available. It was already hovering around the earth. And when we get to Genesis chapter 1 verse 26, where we hear God saying, let us make man in our own image, and that is the first also introduction where we see the involvement of the Holy Spirit. Before we start, before we get to the part of what the Holy Spirit does, I think the first acknowledgement is that we must acknowledge that our makeup as human beings includes the resemblance of the Holy Spirit. Because when God creates us, it says in our own image. So there's a physical part of our.
Yes. Ooh. Mr. Gumede? Hello, Mr. Gumede? Oh, man. I do think that... Mr. Gumede, are you here?
Yes. It just disconnected a little bit. I can hear you now again.
Yeah, we can hear you now again. So, yeah, you were still talking about the role?
Yes, the role of the Holy Spirit, number one, is maybe we must also remember that it's not an external party. We are made in the image of the Holy Spirit as well, just like in the image of the Father and the Son.
Okay.
And that's the first thing, because when we think of the Spirit as an external party, it then creates some sort of barrier between us and the Holy Spirit. I think the first acknowledgement is that if we are made in the Holy Spirit, then it takes us acknowledging that in order for the Holy Spirit then to work in our lives. Right? I think that's the first thing. Then the second thing is we see the Holy Spirit being involved in the Old Testament, especially in the life of David.
Yeah.
Where, for instance, he was where the Bible tells us that the Spirit left the previous king to come into David. And we see it also being involved throughout the New Testament, even with in the story of, you know, the power that it was given to David as he fought Goliath. The Bible tells us that he was filled by the Spirit. We learn about Samson. Samson was able to pull down the walls and the pillars of the Palestinians. And the Bible says the Holy Spirit returned to him. So some of these things, then, number one, is that the Holy Spirit is part of our genetic makeup, number one. Number two, the Holy Spirit gives us power to overcome. And we then see Jesus as he lives in the book of John chapter 14. He says, I'm going to prepare a place for you, and I'm going to come back and receive you unto myself. But he says, as I go, I will send the Holy Spirit, who will be the comforter. So not only is the Spirit shown in the Bible as a strong force power, but it is also so shown as a power that comforts, that consoles. So those are the things that the Holy Spirit does. And over and above that, we also learn that even when we preach, it is not necessarily the words that we tell people that convert the people. It's the Holy Spirit that works in our lives. Even us having the power to go out there, it is the Holy Spirit that compels us to go and do the acts of service.
Beautiful stuff indeed. You're saying that from the very beginning, and I'm going to allow you to continue with the lesson. I just want to quickly understand. So you're saying at the beginning, it was right there. Now, it talks about the Spirit of the Lord. So you are then suggesting that the Spirit of the Lord is the Holy Spirit, or these are two different entities?
Yeah, you know, especially when we speak about the triune God. I like what one of the pastors mentioned in our Bible study group. He said when they went to this section of their studies in theology school, their lecturer said to them, said a different prayer that day. He said in his prayer, "God, please forgive us, for we are about to blaspheme." And indicating that understanding the makeup of God is something that we are not necessarily prohibited to study, but it indicates that it is something that the human mind at the moment cannot fully comprehend. So from what we read in the Bible, being a Greek scholar, but the words that are used to refer to the spirit that hovered around the earth in the Greek language, you find it also being the same Greek word that is used to refer to the Holy Spirit that we read mostly about in the New Testament. So then, which then kind of gives us a picture that the same Holy Spirit that hovered around before the earth was created is the same Holy Spirit that is consulted or that is forms part of the creation of human beings. And it's the same Holy Spirit that Jesus refers to when he leaves earth to say he's not leaving us alone, he's leaving us with the Holy Spirit.
Interesting. All right, I'm going to allow you, my brother, to continue then, you know, talking to us about some of the activities of the Holy Spirit. I think you've defined it quite well. Over to you.
Thank you so much. So one of the important things is that when we also read about the Bible itself, one of the highlighted elements of the power of the Holy Spirit is that as the Bible writers wrote the Bible, there are verses that tell us about the fact that they were inspired by the Holy Spirit to write those things. So meaning that the written word of God is actually revealed to us through the Holy Spirit. And that's why it's important for us when we about to read the Bible to pray and invite the Holy Spirit. I think it's in the book of Corinthians that says spiritual things are spiritually discerned. So some of the activities of the Holy Spirit, number one, it helps us to understand the Word of God. That's the first thing. Then there is the understanding piece that is brought by the Holy Spirit. Then the second thing is the conviction of the Holy Spirit.
Okay.
I remember when I was growing up, I used to wonder where people at some point who accept God as their Lord and Savior, and then a short while after, they leave. You know, and you can, I used to hear some of them saying, you know, I used to worship at this church, but when I heard these things, you know, whether it was a tent effort, you know, I was amazed of this knowledge, you know, and you know, these brothers and sisters will testify about that. But not long after, you know, quite a number of them, I noticed they would then leave the church. But similar to those, you know, who were born in Adventist families, they also leave the church. Then, you know, but I picked up that one of the things that they talk about is the knowledge, how amazing the knowledge was. And I then said to my mind, it could be a distinction between being convinced and being convicted. To say someone can say, I accept Christ today because they are convinced that what is being preached is the truth. However, what matters beyond being convinced is being converted, because now when you are being converted, that is the power of the Holy Spirit. So the other element or the other working of the Holy Spirit is the conviction that it does, the transforming power of the Holy Spirit that we see in our lives. So that is another one. And then maybe a third one, as a last one, is when we remember in the book of Matthew 28, where Jesus gives the gospel commission to the disciples.
Yeah.
He tells them to go to preach and teach and to baptize. And the last verse says, "Lo, I am with you till the end." Right? But we know for a fact that Jesus physically was not going to be with the disciples because he was going back to heaven, which links back to the book of John, where he says, "I'm not leaving you alone, I'm leaving you with the Holy Spirit." So the Holy Spirit also gives us power to do the works of the Lord, in terms of preaching, in terms of taking care of others, because someone can also argue to say, look, other people who are not Christians, they also do acts of kindness, which is okay. And sometimes we may acknowledge the Holy Spirit in our lives, and sometimes we may not acknowledge the Holy Spirit in our lives. But the Bible tells us that, you know, we as human beings are carnal. And it takes the Holy Spirit to convert us to be spiritual. So therefore, whether it is our acknowledgement of the Holy Spirit or not, the Bible does not say that the Holy Spirit works with Christians only. So our conviction is that the Holy Spirit works and moves with those who have a willing heart. So I think for me, those are maybe the highlights that we can touch on in terms of the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives.
All right. Lovely. How do we then conclude this discussion in terms of coming to a full understanding of the activities of the Spirit, Holy Spirit?
Yes. What I remember doing a study once after reading the book Acts of the Apostles. There's a consistent theme there whenever there were converts. So there was an issue when you read after Jesus had ascended and Paul comes back and says, "Hey, I've received that the gospel can also go to the Gentiles." And whenever there were new Gentile converts, then the question that would be asked by the church is that, did they receive the Holy Spirit? And if the answer was no, they would pray, and the Holy Spirit will come and fall on the new converts. So I think one of the things we should pray for as Christians is that, you know, someone said, you know, we can have church every Sabbath without the Holy Spirit being present. We need to invite the Holy Spirit just like the disciples did in the book of Acts chapter 2, where the invoking of the Holy Spirit was through the unity, the sharing, and the spreading of the gospel. So as individuals, as families, as churches, I think let's take the message of the Holy Spirit seriously. Funny enough, last Sabbath we were talking about that to say, you know, there are certain manifestations of the Holy Spirit in other denominations where people are asking themselves, does it mean that because, you know, those manifestations are not prevalent in the Adventist church, does it mean, you know, the Holy Spirit is not there? Perhaps that's a conversation for another day on this one. But the most important part is that the Holy Spirit, we are made out of it. We then need to activate it through inviting the Holy Spirit to reveal itself in our lives.
Beautiful, beautiful stuff there. I think the work of the Holy Spirit really is a great, great work. And of course, you know, you're saying that he works with us, you know, through his Spirit or the Holy Spirit, etc., etc. Now, is it imposed?
Definitely not. I think the lesson this week speaks about love. To say only by love is love activated. God does never impose himself on anyone. And I guess that's why we need to invite God or invoke the Holy Spirit by inviting him to be active in our lives. And it's out of character for God throughout the Bible for him to impose himself. So, which then makes me convinced that we need to invite the Holy Spirit. And perhaps it is something that we need to be cognizant of, and it is something that we should pray for, because it is also promised in the book of Joel that in the last days, God will pour out his Spirit on all men. you know, sons and daughters will prophesy and old men will dream dreams.
Mm,
so I don't know if that falling of the Holy Spirit then will be imposed on people. But it doesn't say that those who pray for it, those that's whom it will fall upon.
True.
But it says it will fall on all men. So, but I think, you know, just understanding, looking or reading the character of God, it is the presupposition of imposition, would be out of character for him.
Yeah, yeah, true. I do buy that. I definitely do buy that. Lastly, I want to check, man. I've seen on TV and in many places where, you know, they say that people receive the Holy Spirit and they start falling on the floor. They start doing all sorts of things and they say, no, that is the working of the Holy Spirit, or the bishop or the apostle in these churches come and, you know, they touch you in the head and boom, you're on the floor. And they say, well, this is the power of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, what's happening with that?
Yeah, so one of the things I always try to avoid myself personally is number one, never to discredit something that I'm not used to or something that I don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And one of the privileges we have is God revealing himself through the Bible.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
One of the other elements to the examples that you are making is around speaking in tongues, which usually forms part of that scene. Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So our reference point is the Bible,
mm-hmm.
as a starting point to say, is there anywhere in the Bible where we have seen this happening that we can then say this is common manifestations of the Holy Spirit?
Mm-hmm.
So I think then for me, that'll be our litmus test.
Mm.
However, because the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God, which is eternal,
yeah.
I also don't want to limit to that, to say, because there's a verse, I'm just not remembering where it is right now, that speaks about where Jesus speaks to the disciples to say when he's gone, they'll be able to do even greater things than the things that he has done. So I'm not sure then if that, those manifestations of the Holy Spirit, but and another thing is, having said that, right, the Bible also encourages us to test the spirits, right?
Yeah.
So we will then, again, coming back, because sometimes we may not have a verse that says the manifestation of the spirit is X, you know, or these such things are not the manifestations of the spirit. But the Bible then does give us that by their fruit, you will know them.
Uh-huh.
So I guess it will then, being us, testing the spirit, perhaps we can maybe have a conversation around what does it mean to test the spirit, but also looking at the fruit. And I guess we would not be doing any favor to anyone going then now to go to interrogate those particular situations. But I think for us, the easy and the quickest way, so that we also don't leave and say, no, because there's no manifestation of the Holy Spirit here, let's go there.
Yeah.
I think our fail-safe is looking at, is what is happening there aligning to what we've read about in the Bible, you know? And I think any lay person, by reading the Bible, you can then do that justification yourself and make a decision. If you've got the resources and the time, you can then go to the extent of testing the Spirit, understanding how to do that, and also understanding the fruit. You know, there's an image I bumped into that shows, you know, some of the churches to say, you know, it shows a picture of the car of the pastor, a very good car, you know, the pastor's wife, the pastor's son. And then there was a picture of a van and a whole lot of people crammed in that van. And it says there's the congregation. So for me, when you talk about testing the spirits and judging the fruit, it's around looking at the fact that Jesus made himself poor so that he could make others rich spiritually. So one of the things then to then judge in those environments one of the things we can look at is to say that apostle, that prophet, that preacher, are they emulating the life that Jesus lived? Therefore, that will then help us to see what spirits is this apostle or pastor using, so that we can distinguish. So I think that's another example that we can then use, so that we don't leave environments chasing the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not limited to a denomination, a place, or a time.
True.
The Holy Spirit is everywhere. In fact, it says our bodies are the temple of God.
Of the Lord.
So the Holy Spirit lives within us. So that's another thing that we must also be wary of. Because sometimes we may see things not seemingly not happening in our lives, but help happening somewhere in Nigeria or happening somewhere, you know, and then we flock there. And so those are some of the things that I believe as Christians, we must read the Bible ourselves, understand the truth. And it also goes to this conversation around, you know, testing the genuine from the counterfeit. That to know the genuine, you don't have to study the counterfeit. Study the genuine, so that when the counterfeit comes, you know that the genuine is like this. Then it's going to be easy for you to be able to distinguish that which is not according to the Spirit of God.
Yeah, beautiful, beautiful stuff. Well, Kwabe, I must say thank you so much for joining us. Mpangazita, we sibabangazo zoyibili. Thank you so much. Blessings to you, and have a good afternoon further.
Thank you so much, my elder.
Beautiful, thanks.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Powered by the SID Media, that is the voice there of Senele Gumede Kwabe Mpangazita, joining us, talking to us about, you know, the workings of the Holy Spirit, activities, as it were, of the Holy Spirit. Fantastic, fantastic conversation there. Fun fact of the day, did you know that cats can jump up to 6 times their length? Yes, that is true. The average healthy adult cat can jump up to 6 times their height in a single jump, measured from the ground to their shoulders, which is anywhere between 150 centimeters or 4.9 feet and 180 centimeters. But surprisingly, some will reach the jump height of 8 feet or 240 centimeters. So yeah, cats can actually jump quite high. A beautiful fact there. And so if you're scared of cats and you want to steer clear of them, get a much higher place that you can actually be in, instead of being in the way of the cats. Well, there you have it. We've now arrived at the moment where we are going to be playing you music. The next 20 minutes is going to be fantastic. So yeah, thank you for joining us. Enjoy.
It's time for your afternoon praise on Maranatha Drive on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.